The following is a special production of the Youth Media Workshop, a collaboration between WILL Radio and Innovative Ed Consulting.
In 1954, the United States Supreme Court ruled that it's illegal to segregate public schools by race. Evidence showed that separate schools for Negro and white children were not equal. The justices believed that separation of children by race generates a feeling of inferiority among Negro children that may affect their hearts and minds in a way unlikely ever to be undone.
It was a civil rights movement going on in the South. A lot of people watched that on TV and in the northern areas and wanted to improve the quality of life for everyone in their community.
More than 10 years later, during the height of the civil rights movement, at a time when civil disobedience, presidential assassination, and murders of civil rights leaders were making headlines, the Unifor School District in Champaign, Illinois, decided to end de facto segregation of its public schools.
The findings and recommendations were that we should racially balance the school, that separate was not equal, and the way we tried to do it, we knew we had to bring the white community along.
A 1967 teacher study of integration by the Champaign Education Association affirmed the findings of the 1954 Brown versus Board of Education case. Racially isolated schools were harmful to Negro children. The Champaign School Board decided to desegregate its elementary schools in the fall of 1968.
The effect of that first desegregation plan was to cause almost all of the burden of desegregation to be placed on the black students because they were bused.
They didn't think, other than Washington School, that integration meant that the white community kids should be bused to the African-American neighborhood schools.
I had no problem with them being bused. I wanted my children to have the same opportunities as any other child had.
When we were first integrated into the school systems with white students, the white teachers had extremely low expectations of black students.
We assumed that the root of the problem had all to do with the buildings, it had all to do with the curriculum, it had all to do with the teaching core. And in fact, it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with the poverty that the kids lived in.
I don't know that that's ever been absolutely proven to this day, that simply the act of integration enhances the educational quality.
I think a lot of people had a lot of mixed feelings. Is it good? Was it worth it? Would we have been better off without segregation as far as education goes? And a lot of people have really strong feelings that no, we're not.
Now, almost 30 years later, 15 girls and young women of African-American descent from Franklin Middle School and Central High School investigated what happened in 1968 when Negro children were mandated to get on a bus so they might receive a better education than what was offered at their neighborhood school. The Youth Media Workshop, a collaboration between WILL and Innovative Ed Consulting, proudly present More Than a Bus Ride, Desegregating Champaign Schools. I'm Dr. Will Patterson.
And I'm Tierra Campbell of Central High School.
And I'm Veronica Martin of Central High School. We're two students who investigated the desegregation of our local public schools. We'll be your narrators for More Than a Bus Ride.
More Than a Bus Ride, Desegregating Champaign Schools, was made possible in part by a grant from the Illinois Humanities Council, the National Endowment for the Humanities, the Illinois General Assembly, the Unit 4 School District, Ronald McDonald House Charities, Busey Bank, Meyer, and First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana.
Neighborhood schools were the norm in Champaign before desegregation in 1968. Housing discrimination locked blacks out of many city neighborhoods. As a result, neighborhood elementary schools were mostly segregated by race and class.
One such neighborhood school was Booker T. Washington School, named after the man who rose from slavery and founded the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, one of the leading schools for black education in the United States. Derek Clements, who now lives in Atlanta, remembers his days at Washington School.
Washington School was an all-black school. You had black teachers, you had black cooks, you had the black principal. It was just a segregated school. You didn't think of segregation, oh, I'm going to this segregated school. It was a fact of life that this was one of the black schools, and everybody went there. It was wonderful because you didn't have the dissension there. You didn't have the racial prejudice because it was segregated.
Mr. Clements' younger sister, Crystal Clements, now Crystal Womble, attended Washington School too.
The teachers knew you as well as knowing your family. So, you know, if there was a situation or concern on the teacher's part for any reason whatsoever, it was nothing to see that teacher either at your house or, you know, hear a phone conversation with that teacher and my mom. For me, it seemed like there was a belief in the fact that you could learn, no matter who you were or what your background.
Marty Edwards started teaching at Washington School in 1959.
It was all black when I first started, and it was a neighborhood school. The kids were coming from the neighborhood.
What was Washington School like back then?
Well, like I said, it was all black. The black principal was a wonderful person, Mrs. Wesley. To me, it was great because I had come from a smaller school district, that did not have as much as they had there. And I just thought that, ooh, I got all of this material, and I can just do wonders with it. The classes were large, much larger than I expected.
Can you describe the students, teaching staff, and administration?
I guess they weren't much different from the students that I've taught. I think we had more involvement with parents. I know what we did, more involvement with the parents. We had lots of good parents that would come and help with things that we would want to do. In fact, I also like to take my kids on field trips, and I can remember never having any trouble to get parents to go along with me.
Derek Clements remembers his mother's involvement in his and his siblings' education.
Mama read each and every day, so seeing your mother read each and every day, you emulate that as a child, and so you pick up that pattern. A lot of the parents got on our case about doing well in school. During that early period, it was education that was at the forefront of the African-American family consciousness.
Washington School was to be transformed in 1968. The Equal Education Opportunities Committee, or EEOC, recommended that Washington School be dismantled as a neighborhood school and made into a magnet school. The school board adopted the recommendation.
There were 18 elementary schools in Champaign at the time. Booker T. Washington was co-operated by the Unifor School District and the University of Illinois. As a magnet school, it earned a reputation as being the best elementary school in the district. Harold Baker, chairman of the EEOC, whose son attended Washington School after it became a magnet school, explains.
We knew we had to bring the white community along. So we put forward the plan of turning Washington School into a magnet school. We were going to have all sorts of attractive things there. We were going to have small class size. We were going to have teaching assistants. We were going to have computer-assisted math teaching and a racially balanced school. And white people were to volunteer to have their kids go, and we held out this educational magnet to them.
Dave Downey was another member of the Equal Education Opportunities Committee that created the desegregation plan.
Washington School became a magnet school, and it just happened that my son was among the first students to go there. We lived right next to Westview School, but he got on a bus at Westview and went to Washington, as did my two daughters when they became of age to go to school. But it was as usual, and, you know, not surprisingly, there was an outcry in the community and from the black leadership that it was an unfair burden on the black kids to have to be the ones primarily moved. And yet the decision was made that the education quality would be better and it was worth the effort to get it done. And actually, we had some complaints because there were a number of black parents who would have liked for their kids to have gone to Washington School, but because of the percentage issues, could not get them admitted.
Julian Rappaport, a psychology professor at the University of Illinois, enrolled his children in Washington School, too.
We came to Champaign in 1968. From the time we arrived here, we had heard about Washington School. Booker T. Washington had become a magnet school. Before we started my youngest daughter in 1971, we visited the school, and we were immediately struck by the social environment, especially the principal at that time, a woman named Mrs. Wesley, who was African-American principal, very warm. Her eyes lit up when she saw kids. As we walked in the hall, I always remember her, little kids running down the hall to her and her picking them up and hugging them. And it was just seemed like such a nice place to go to school.
How did you feel about your children being taught by African-American teachers?
Well, here's one of the ironies of the experience. There weren't very many African-American teachers, which, looking back on it, seems surprising. Although they had African-American peers, the staff did not, at that time at least, have many African-American members.
One of the drawbacks and one of the unexpected or unintended results often that happened in terms of trying to integrate the faculty of the schools is some of the best black teachers who had been in predominantly black schools were then moved to predominantly white schools.
Maudie Edwards taught at Washington before and just after it became a magnet school.
I really enjoyed when we got the lab school from the University of Illinois because the government had given them the money to, we could do whatever we wanted to. We could plan, we could go on trips. I can remember they sent two of the teachers all the way to Boston once to a conference, and we just had so much material and so many books, and then we had two professors from the university that came in to help us, too. That was one thing that I really enjoyed.
Mrs. Odelia Wesley was the principal at Washington School when it was a neighborhood school and after it became a magnet school. Here she is talking about Washington School in this excerpt from a 1969 TV documentary.
Subject to it being said as one of the poorest schools in the district, because this has never been a feeling of mine. And I think if we can say it's one of the better schools in the district now, it certainly is our plan that we have of integration, which is a motivational factor for some of our children. It stimulates them to want to do more and to do more. I think it can be attributed to the help that we have. I think it can be attributed to the different kinds of materials that we have. And it gives us a chance to work with different materials and techniques and so forth, and to try to find those that are most effective in working with children. And it is the purpose of our school that when we find these materials and techniques, that they will eventually be placed in some of the other schools too, not just Washington School. This is a testing ground for all schools in the district.
John Lee Johnson, a community activist, has been an advocate for the black community for more than 40 years.
Magnet schools were allowed under the Supreme Court ruling as a means of attracting the white community into the black community. Now, remember that the emphasis of the whole DSEG case by the NAACP was not asking white people to bring their children to the black community. It was asking the court to allow black children to go to white schools, okay? And the reason for that emphasis probably was on the fact that black schools did not meet the same quality as white schools. And they probably felt that because of that, it would be much better for black kids, wherever they were in the American public school systems, to leave their buildings and to go into white schools.
Julian Rappaport, whose daughters attended Washington School, agrees.
Max Biberman, a professor of math education at the University of Illinois and a leader in the New Math Movement, believed that the presence of white children in a classroom would increase the performance of black children. Here is Professor Biberman from a 1969 documentary.
Assuming that it was the case that in the past graduates of the Washington School scored lower the graduates of other elementary schools in Unit 4 on various achievement tests. I think that situation will change because we have changed the mix of student body in each of the elementary schools.
The assumption by the school board and other people that the children who lived around Washington were inferior to the white kids that were being bused from the South to the schools, and the promise that the Board of Education had made to those parents that we were providing you with an exceptional education that you can't get anywhere else in the district but at Washington School, and to assure you of that exceptional accelerated curriculum, we're only going to bring in children of color who can match your children's learning speed, and that there would be nothing that would slow your children down in learning.
Mrs. Hester Nelson Suggs was the first principal of Washington School after Mrs. Wesley. We asked her about some of the concerns expressed about Washington School when it was an all-black school.
They had lower test scores, but I'm not sure that the test scores were really indicative of what kids could do, or they were indicative of what was tested at that particular time. I know teachers that taught kids how to read, that the kids were said that they couldn't read prior to that particular time. They had some problems, but I think the problems were a result of the whole kind of neighborhood rather than the school casting aspersions on the school itself. They had good students and they had poor students.
How did busing impact people's view about Washington?
I think they thought that Washington School had all select students, which really wasn't right, because we had to, even at Washington School, save a certain number of students out from the area. They did that to get other students to come into Washington School, to get non-minority students to bus into Washington School so they could have at least one integrated school.
Many of the black children from the Washington School neighborhood were now bused to schools in South Champaign. Vernon Barkstall, then president of the Urban League and a member of the Equal Education Opportunities Committee that created the desegregation plan, strongly objected to the way in which Washington was set up as a magnet school. In a statement of concern written December 6, 1967, Mr. Barkstall wrote,
"Volunteerism should be a two-way street, but any way you slice it, as many as 74% to 93% of the Negroes now attending Washington School will have no choice as to whether or not they attend the best elementary school in the district. The model school concept for Washington School is merely a pacifier to the white community and has no moral basis in fact, either real or implied."
In another statement of concern written on December 13, 1967, Mr. Barkstall wrote,
"A lion's share of the volunteers will no doubt come from racially liberal homes. Thus, the cross-section of the community for which we strive cannot be assured. In this racially balanced school, the number of Negroes able to attend is entirely dependent upon the number of whites willing to volunteer. The option of volunteering or not on the part of whites weakens the valid argument that racial isolation is detrimental to all of our youngsters, and the valuable opportunity to effectuate some positive change in attitudes in the area of human relations."
Julian Rappaport agrees with the criticism.
So Washington School was declared not a neighborhood school. So anybody who wanted to go there, including neighborhood kids, would have to apply to go there. It's not clear to me how many neighborhood kids or neighborhood families understood this. And not very many neighborhood families would sign their kids up to go to Washington School, I think not realizing that they had to sign up to go there. And plus, Champaign was already busing large numbers of African-American kids to other schools, so they thought that they would just get bused to whatever school they were assigned. So people like Mrs. Wesley and other staff members would actually have to go out into the neighborhood and recruit kids to sign up to come to Washington School.
Community activist John Lee Johnson.
"There's nothing bad with chartered or other Pacific schools as long as those schools do not lock out children who reside within those neighborhoods. One of the reasons that we included Washington School in our racial complaint that was filed in 97 against the Champaign schools because it locked out the children who live closest to the school, and they were not allowed to attend that school. But if we would have been a little bit more intelligent, we may have been able to get better schools in Northeast Champaign with more white kids attending those schools instead of having a situation where structurally all of our kids were uprooted and sister schools in Southwest Champaign.
Black children from Northeast Champaign were bused to elementary schools in South Champaign. Kenwood Elementary School was one such school. In 1968, it was about 98% white. Nearly all of the black children who attended Kenwood were bused in. Rose Gamble, principal of Kenwood at the time, talked about the changes in this excerpt from a 1969 documentary.
Well, I feel that busing is a good thing for the school and for all the children. The children that live here, as well as the children that are bused in. Perhaps some of these children have never known black children before, and they are sitting in class with them and playing with them and finding out that they are children just as they are. I think there is a big advantage for the children that are being bused in. They have a low opinion of themselves, and the most important thing for a child to learn is to have a good self-concept. And most of these children do not have a good self-concept. Of course, we have children here that do not have a good self-concept, too.
One of the concerns raised about busing black children from segregated school was the expectations of white teachers. Again, Max Bieberman, University of Illinois professor.
I think it is a common problem to find teachers who expect lower achievement from black children than they are actually capable of. There have been some interesting experiments conducted on the West Coast where investigators told teachers in advance that certain ones of their children were going to become academic bloomers. And in point of fact, there was no evidence to substantiate this. But those children whom the teachers knew were going to be academic bloomers did in fact bloom academically. There is a lot to be said about the expectations of teachers with respect to the achievement of children.
Here again is Principal Gamble of Kenwood Elementary School in 1969.
In order that children learn and do well in school, they must think that they are able to do that. And then the teacher's expectation is very important. If the teacher doesn't expect much from children, she won't get much. It is hard for a middle-class teacher to understand all children. Her life is quite different than the child that comes from a home where they don't have food, clothing, and the parents aren't there. But Champaign has done a good job in trying to educate their teachers. We've had workshops last summer.
Some of the workshops Principal Gamble refers to were called Little Black Sambo Revisited,
Down Home, The Southern Way of Life in the Ghetto,
and Educating the Negro Child, Progress or Poison. According to a report from the Unit 4 School District, about one-fourth or 250 teachers and administrators attended the workshops. Mrs. Suggs, principal at Washington School, remembers some of the workshops.
It gave us both positive information and information that was correct and information that probably was a little bit tainted the way that as perceptions, but it was to work on teachers' perceptions because their perception was that they were going to get all these inferior kids coming into the school, and it wasn't necessarily true. Black children in Champaign's mostly segregated Northeast End were bused to racially balance the elementary schools. Harold Baker was chairman of the committee that created the desegregation plan.
We didn't want tokenism. We didn't want two or three to come. We wanted to balance it in accordance with the, or in conformity with the makeup of the community.